It's great to come into the house of the Lord with exciting people who are excited to be here, excited to hear the word of God. I love growing up in church and then going out to Pastor Mark's all week, getting saturated with the word has changed my life. And I saw the effects of that being in the house of God to where we are the temple of God, but there's times you gather because you need a supply, you need an infilling. And Romans 1, Paul says that I may come to you that I may impart a spiritual gift. And so when you're in a service and someone's preaching and teaching, there's actually impartations going out and things and seeds getting into you that you may not know about until later on you'll look back and say, man, my life's completely different. My life's completely changed. 10 years ago, I had met Pastor Mark, and if you fast forward, my life is a whole different place right now than it was. Being under the word of God, being under the teaching of the word and hearing the word of God. And so when that happens, it's like a seed. And once that seed begins to take root and then it grows, and then Jesus says, every seed that bears fruit, I'll continue to prune it. I'll cut it where it was bearing fruit so it would bear more fruit. And so God's interested in you growing this morning. And as I'm teaching, receive it. Open your heart that the seed is going in and that you're changing. Your life's changing. You're not going to be the same. Don't come in here expecting. I've sat in this church my whole life, and if you don't expect anything, I guarantee you nothing will happen. You will sit in this church Sunday after Sunday. Nothing will change. You won't even remember what pastor preached most of the time. You never go back and look at your notes year after year, and nothing changes. But I've made a decision that my life will change in Jesus' name. I'll hear the word of God. It will produce 30, 60, 100-fold, and I'm going to have increase in my life, because really, what are we doing here if it's not? We're really just, it's just another good talk. And so I love church, but I got a revelation of being in church when I'm hearing the word of God and being around men of God, my life would begin to change because of the seed that was being sown and impartations that you don't even know you're getting. Because once that word is sharper than a double-edged sword, piercing into the division of soul and the spirit, going into you, changing the very fabric of who you are. God always starts with the spirit man first. That's where he did it in Christ. And then he moves into the soul realm. Beloved, I pray that you'll prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. So you need your soul to prosper, the renewing of the word of God into your mind. It says, the Bible says, gird up the loins of your mind. Take care, protect what you think about, because your imagination is producing a manifestation in your life. What you're thinking about all day long is what's producing a reality for you. That's why the Bible says in the Old Testament, nothing that they imagined when they were building the Tower of Babel will be withheld from them. Your imagination is so strong that even, I think it was Jacob and Laban, when they were doing the goats and they put all the speckled and spotted, and these goats were looking at that all day long, and they started producing speckled and spotted sheep from a creature that did not have any speckles or spots on them at all. Based off, they looked at it, they drank, they looked at it. When they were mating, they were looking at it, and boom, they produced these sheep that were speckled and spotted based off what they saw. So what you're seeing constantly in front of your mind, that's why the Bible says, do not let the word of God depart from your eyes. Meditate on it day and night. For then you will make your way, what? Prosperous and have good success. So the more you're looking at the word, it's building what? A godly imagination into you. You're thinking about the word. You're praying on the word. You're meditating. You're masticating the word. You're thinking about the covenant. We're going to talk about covenant today. And you can go to Genesis chapter 1. And I'm going to talk a little bit about prosperity and God's plan for it. But as you begin to put your eyes on it, your heart, you say, man, I don't think that way now, but you'll begin to change. I'm always growing in my thought life and the way that I change and think about God. Because really, I read something that Bishop Boyadepo said. He said, it's not the problem is the reason people are down is not because they don't have prosperity or they don't have cash or money. He said the reason they're down is because they don't have light. The Bible says, the entrance of thy word bringeth light. And it brings revelation. And so one thing I was reading, he has one of the largest churches in Africa, and he said that he never had a business. He never sold anything. He said all he did was read about the covenant that God made with him, and he entered into that covenant. You cannot fast and pray into the covenant. It was given to you. you enter into the covenant. Now, fasting and praying makes you very sensitive towards God. There's a lot that fasting and praying does to activate things. But when it comes to your covenant, you just enter into that covenant. You know your rights and privileges in that covenant, and you mix faith with the covenant. And so that's what brings a lot of prosperity in your life. But really, people can have prosperity, but if they don't know how to keep it, they'll lose it quickly. Why? Because it was never in them to really begin with. I mean, you can give somebody a bunch of cash and they'll do something, and then it'll all be gone tomorrow. So just because you have a lot of cash does not mean you're a prosperous person. You can have a lot of cash 1 year and not have any the next year. But the prosperity has to do with the soul of a person, that you prosper and be in health. Having health is prosperity. Having your body work, being able to do stuff, to go do the will of God, to go preach and talk to people about Jesus and not have aches and pains and be able to get out of bed and move. And so there's prosperity in health. There's prosperity as your soul prospers in your mind, what you think about. People can have a lot of money but be tormented by their past and their thought life. But that's why the blood of Jesus cleanses you from your past, cleanses you from the effects that Smith Wigglesworth said, that any person can be changed by faith no matter how they may be fettered, which means no matter how they may be bound. That means your faith can get you out of any situation that you're in life. Amen. Nothing your faith can't get you out of. But that's why it says have faith in God, not faith in yourself, not have faith in your neighbor, but have faith in God. Genesis 1, 20. We'll start with 22. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply, fill the waters of the sea, let the birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Let's go to 26. God said, let us make man in our image. According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And God created man in his own image, which means his own likeness. That means if you look at a mirror and you look at yourself, it's an image of you. So think about this. You are a exact reflection of what God looks like. You are in the class of God. You are not in some lower class, barely trying to get by. God created you to look just like himself, to have a family, to have a relationship. And so when you see yourself is in the class of God, you will think differently. You will act differently. That's why Jesus acted the way that he did. He said, I am God's son. I am one with the Father. The Father's in me. I'm in him. We're in the Holy Spirit. We are one person. And then Jesus says later on, now we are in them. They are in us. We are one person now. So as you begin to walk and act, you have to see yourself not only as in the class of God, but once you're born again, your spirit becomes one with God. That's what a marriage is. The two become one flesh. And now you're operating with a new created spirit, a new class. The Bible says of any man in Christ, he's a new creation. One translation says a new species, a new race of being. Another translation says, I simply am enjoying a second existence, Christ using my body, which is a very powerful, it's hard, I'm trying to say these different translations, but I'm just a simply enjoying a second existence, which is Christ using my body. And so a lot of times you think, is this me? Is this him? Is this me? Well, it's like, well, does it line up with the word of God? It's probably him. If it's good, if it's bad, it's probably the flesh or the devil. And so it's pretty easy usually to figure out. Is it going to bless somebody? Would it be something you would do to yourself? If no, then don't do it. So that's pretty easy to figure out. But it's usually if God's asking you to bless somebody and you're like, oh, this is. I don't know if this is me. That's definitely God. Because God's going to ask you to do stuff that you don't want to do, but that blesses and helps other people. So it says God blessed them. God made man in his own image. He created them male and female. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. God believes in multiplication. Your life should be multiplying every single day, every single year. You should be filling every part of where you work. We should be filling the earth with the goodness of God, with the kingdom of God. There should not be any lack in the kingdom of God. God believes in multiplication. So I love something Pastor Mark told me one time. He says, I always keep the leadership lesson of Jesus when it comes to feeding people and my staff when they bring food. He says, Do not bring lack into this office. If you're going to bring food, it better be in loaves and fishes enough to where we take up 12 baskets when we're done. I do not want to be running out when I'm feeding people food. Can anybody say amen? I didn't like growing up and mom only made enough to eat once, and maybe whoever jumped up from the table got to eat the last bit. I love an abundance of food. Nobody likes lack. Amen. I think it's religion. I was reading something by Jonathan Shuttlesworth that during the Dark Ages, when Constantine had made Christianity popular, and then the Catholic Church and the different churches had gotten involved, the reason that they taught people that to be poor was to be Christ-like was because they wanted control over the money. That's when the church and the government became one. And they kept the Bibles out. They wanted to have control because Satan doesn't want it when the people, because in the children of Israel, they were all blessed. It says they left Egypt with their silver and with their gold. And so, you see in the Bible that every time they wanted a king, God said, no, I want you to be governed by me and my word. But the more you have government, rulership, the more the oppressed the people are. So when the righteous rule, people rejoice. When the wicked are in rule, the people will groan. And so Satan keeps the money out of the hands of the righteous and tells them that they need to be broke, and that's holy and it's spiritual, because Satan knows what you're going to do with that money. Now, just because there are abuse of money does not mean that negates the word of God. People say, well, I feel, it doesn't matter what you feel, well, I heard, or this guy abused it, doesn't matter. What does the word say about it? If somebody abuses something, it does not matter. What did Jesus say about it? You cannot base your Christianity off of what somebody did with their money or what they did with their life or how they live their Christian life. You can only base your life off of what did his word say. Well, I knew somebody who stole a bunch of money. We all know people who steal money. Christian, non-Christian, I know a Christian who stole money and I'm not going to church. Well, you're welcome to the club. There's a lot of people who steal money. Does not mean I'm going to not go to church, love God. I'm not basing my walk with God off other people's experiences. Why? Because experiences always change. It'll be one day, one up, down, low, happy, sad. No, my walk with God is based off his word. What did he say about it? God blessed him, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves. And God says, see, I've given you every herb that yields seed on the face of the earth, every tree whose fruit yields seed, and it'll be for food. So God's given them seed, he's given them fruit and plants, every beast of the earth, every bird of the air, everything that creeps on the earth, which is life, I have given to you, given a green herb for food. And God saw that everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So God believes that that was good. That he, number one, make it and multiply, make lots of fruits and veggies and a beautiful garden, and then he gives it to you, to man, and he says, and then God says what? It is good. So it is good for you to have stuff. It is not a curse. And so let's say, I want to go to, let's go to Genesis. What did I have next? Let's see, Genesis 12. We're going to talk about the covenant of Abraham. I've heard every argument when it comes to money in the Bible and God and my whole life. And I'll tell you, Dad did a great job of teaching on the covenant. But early on in his missionary days, there just wasn't a whole lot of money. And I think every person rejects poverty. Nobody looks at their kids and wants them to lack, to be in need. As a father, and I believe God's the same exact way with his kids. God made the garden. He made the earth. It says the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the cattle on 1,000 hills, the silver and the gold. And then he says he gave it to the children of men. He gave it to us. And so a lot of times when people have an issue with money, I ask them one question. Who made it? Who made the finances? Who made that green stuff really, money is just a mediator of trade, to a bartering of a value, so you're not using chickens and goats anymore. It's just a medium of exchange. That's all it is. It's not good nor evil. It's what you do with it that makes it good or evil. And so money in the hands of a good person, people will do good things. People say money corrupts people. It can. It's possible. But I believe that really what you do when you don't have a lot of money is what you'll do when you have a lot of money. People say, well, I'll give when I have more money. You will not give when you have more money. If you're not giving when you have nothing, I started giving when I was a child. My mom taught me how to tithe 10% off of everything that came in. She helped us with the tithe and then taught us to give offerings, special offerings, give to the prophet. There's different types of giving in the Bible. And I'll tell you, I've been a lifetime giver, and I will never say that I would want anything different. I actually am trying to keep increasing that. It's been fun. I've enjoyed it. I tithe even when I went to Bible school and I didn't have a job. And people would send me money from back home, and I don't know where it came from, but money came from every place, even when I was tithing and I wasn't working for a whole year. I don't know how it worked, but it just money just kept. I had gas in my truck every day for a year driving to Bible school, and I didn't even work. Why? Because every time somebody sent me money, I'd always tithe and give God what was his. It says that the money is his. And so really 10% is just you giving God's back to his money and just saying thank you. It actually says that you're actually declaring the Lord Jesus and that he's alive when you're giving 10% of your finances. And so really you're just trusting God and saying thank you. You're just telling God you're not a thief when you give God 10% of your money. You're just telling God, I trust you. And then 90% is blessed. And it says that people are cursed with a curse because they withhold the tithe. You didn't get that money anyways. That you didn't make it. You're breathing God's air, drinking his water, living on earth, all the house, the clothes. You didn't make any of that stuff. That's all God's. You're just simply giving it back to him saying, thank you. Thank you. Your life, I've heard a good statement, is like a lease or a loan on the earth. God's going to see what you do with it. He's given you 80 years to figure out what are you going to do with your life. Are you going to hold it, squander it, sit on it, or are you going to actually do something for him and be a blessing? That's the whole story of the talents. And so let's go to, I think we're in Genesis 12. And so I love to give. Amen. Everything was God's anyways. Amen. If the Bible says, don't forget the Lord your God who causes you to get wealth. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, your father's house, to land I'm going to show you. Oh, that's great. How many people like land? So right there, he's telling you, God's saying, Abraham, first thing I'm going to do is, he said, leave your mom and your dad, get away from your family, and I'm going to take you to a land that I'm going to show you. Hallelujah. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You shall be a blessing. Say, I am a blessing in Jesus' name. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's why you have to be very careful with Israel. So Abraham departed from the Lord, that spoke to him. Lot went with him. Abraham was 70 years old when he departed from Haran. And then Abraham took Sarah's wife, Lot, brother's son, and their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired at Haran. They departed to the land of Canaan. They came to the land of Canaan. Abraham passed through the place of Shechem, as far as the somewhere in the Canaanites. Okay, and we're going to keep going down. And he says to your descendants, I will give you this land, and he built an altar. So, 10, there was a famine in the land of Egypt. Abraham went down, dwelt there, or let's say Abram, because he's not Abraham yet. And the famine was severe in the land. It came to pass when he was close to entering Egypt that he said to Sarai, his wife, indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. So please say that you are my sister. That's pretty messed up. Yeah. That it may be, how many wives would you like your husband to look at you and say, please be my sister once we go to this new country? American women would slap you upside the head, and Spanish women would throw their chocolate at you. So it was when Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw the woman. She was very beautiful, and the princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house, treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, and male and female servants, male donkeys and camels. Right there you can tell Abram's already rich. How many of you have servants? And I mean, it's like having a lot of them. People serving your house. He's a rich man. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. That's a covenant. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you've done to me? Did not tell me that she was your wife. Why did you say she is my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way." So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. And Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, Lot with them, to the south. Look at this. And Abram was very rich, livestock, silver, and gold. Beginning of the Bible, right there. It's very hard not to say that there's not prosperity in the Bible because it says it. Abraham wasn't just rich. He was very rich. He had livestock. He had silver. And he had gold. Amen? And God put that in the Bible so that you could just say, "Oh, that's great for Abraham." No, he's putting that in the Bible because he's wanting you to see this. He went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been in the beginning, where Bethel and Ai, and the place where the altar which he had made there first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Lot also went with him, had flocks, herds, and tents. Now watch this. Now the land was not able to support them that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great they could not dwell together. So Lot, with an association of Abram hanging around him, and the covenant that Abram had with God is what? So great, the possessions, that the land could not hold them. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwell also in the land. So Abram said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me." So basically, they divided the land. Now, how would you like it that me and my dad's, we were so great, we couldn't even be in the city of Apopka? So our possessions, our livestock, I mean, that's what it says. That land, not just that land, couldn't support them. They had to divide the land in half. So we need to get some land. And then y'all need to get so blessed that where y'all have to split it and somebody needs to move away because there's too many possessions, too many. So God is blessing them. So I don't understand how people can even not even read the first few books of the Bible and not see that God's was blessing Abraham through this covenant with what? Possessions. So it's not that God doesn't want you to have stuff. He just doesn't want stuff to have you to where that you're thinking about stuff all the time. It says, seek first the kingdom of God. Not seek stuff first and then the kingdom. We use stuff to get a hold of people. We don't use people to get a hold of stuff. Many people climb over people to get more stuff, promotions, job, more money, use people, abuse people, right? But no, we're to use stuff to get a hold of people. Why? There's a scripture in the Bible that says that a man's gift will actually make room for him. And so gifts to people, many times when a person would come to a new country, they would bring the king a gift. And it's like opens the door to his heart to then ask your request or to make a peace deal. And so gifts with people do amazing things, that they open doors with people that you may have not gotten before. That's why you should always be a giver and not a taker. Amen. Don't try to climb over people. Bless people. Bible says, how would you bless them the way you would want to be treated? Amen. So the other day I was at the middle school and somebody had handed me like $100 bill, and I was there and the principal was talking to me and the Lord said, "Give her that $100 bill right now." And I'm like, "Okay, Father." I pulled it out, handed it to her, and she was like, "Oh my goodness," because she's never experienced that before. And so I'm at the middle school. I don't know what God's doing there. I'm just following the leading of the Holy Spirit. I know that giving sows seed, number one. It multiplies, but also a gift will make room for somebody. Yes. So the Lord says, "I want you to hand her that money." And I hand her that money. It's just money. It's just cash. There's always more of it. I love something Kenny Robertson said one time. I was complaining about how much money or losing money. And Kenny said, "Well, the good news is you can always make more." I thought, amen. Glory to God. No shortage of money. I was telling the first service this. I was at the airport and at Executive one night. And I got stuck on the runway with my instructor, and he flies private jets before he was instructing. And we were sitting there, and I said, "Let me ask you a question. How much money is landing at this airport right now?" And he said, "Oh, that jet's worth $1 million. That jet's 1.5 million. That jet's 2 million. That jet's 600,000. That's 400,000. I mean, all 20 planes in one night. And people think there's a short. This is one little airport. There's airports, hundreds of thousands of airports all over the world. And planes constantly in the air all day long landing. And people think there's a shortage of fuel, resources, money. They're just burning gas right into the sky, just blowing it. And then you got the politicians telling you there's a shortage and everybody's running out. Give me a break while they fly on a private jet. And they make more money on oil. There's no shortage. These planes will just keep running. I don't see that aviation gas going down. And so I'm sitting there going, man, $20 million just in a few hours at a night. And people say there's a shortage on the earth. No, the lender and the borrower live in the same land. But what happens? The lender has a revelation the borrower does not have. And so you have the person who has plenty in the same land as the person who is poor. But what is the person, there's a difference in what they know. There's a difference in mindset. There's a difference in knowledge. There's a difference in revelation that they have. And so you can go anywhere in the world, and there will always be poor people. There will always be rich people, no matter where you go. And so we'll continue on. I forget where I was saying now. Oh, I gave $100 to her and the principal, and she was like, can I hug you right now? And I was like, sure. So she gave me a big hug. And I saw something happen and change in her to where giving gifts to people and blessing people opens all kinds of doors of opportunity. And this last week, I'm always saying I never lack for opportunity. I never lack for ability. I never lack for money. It's something Pastor Mark taught me to say. So this week, I'm sowing and giving. The Bible says I'll multiply your seed sown. Don't think decrease every time you're giving. I'm always sowing seed I try to sow every day if I can, because I want a harvest coming up every day.
That's right.
A farmer, if he's planting seed every day, he's going to have a big harvest. The Bible says he who scatters small seed, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 9 as well, will have a small crop. Small seed, small crop. Large seed, large crop. He that scattereth many seed. So, and it says, plant thy seed upon the waters, and you'll find it after many days. Some may spring up, maybe it all will, as one translation says. And so I learned something with giving is that, number one, I expect a harvest. Why? Because I'm a sower, I'm a farmer, I'm sowing seed. The Bible says the whole earth works a seed time and harvest. As long as day and night are, and they do not cease, neither shall sowing your seed will not cease, seed time and harvest. So as long as there's a sun going up and the sun going down, the seed will produce.
That's right. That's right.
And so I was sowing this week, and I've been sowing this whole year, and I'm always stretching in my giving with God, because sometimes I heard Pastor Mark say one time, there's all these guys want to be in extreme sports, extreme motorcycle racing, extreme gymnastics, extreme this and that. He goes, what about being an extreme giver? And I thought, man, that'd be kind of cool. Maybe I'll try that. That's something I can't really do anything else. Plus, you get so tired of being broke, I'm willing to try anything at this point. You know, growing up in church, you know, and being around so much poverty-minded and nobody ever has enough money, I'm like, you know, I've tried everything else, tried saving, holding on, working harder, 2, 3, 4 jobs, you know, busting my butt, and I'm like, well, let's try this. So, started giving a lot more, and this week, the Lord told me something a few weeks back, and he said, you are not going backwards, you will always move forward because of the seed you are sowing. Because why? Seed always multiplies. And you always think, well, what if this is just a good luck streak with me? I've been sowing. I've seen some increase. You know, I got some renters on the property. Maybe they're going to move out. Maybe Airbnb is going to stop. Maybe the money will quit. I better save it. The Lord said, sow it. You're not going backwards. You always move forward. So this week, I'm out at Pastor Hankins and sowing. And the Lord, every day I was there, was like, give. And I'm like, okay. So the next day, he goes, why don't you give a little more? I'm like, okay. Why don't you give a little more the next day? Okay, I'll give. All right, Lord, we're getting to the end of my, you know, of what I got in this account. Because the Bible says we have barns, and he fill up your barns. So I have a few accounts, but I was getting to the low end of one account. I thought, all right, Lord, don't make me start dipping into the other account. So then Pastor Trina comes up to me, and she goes, can you help us on Thursday? And I said, sure. She said, we'd like you to teach on what you're doing in the middle school and to share. I thought, oh, no problem. So I got up. I got to actually teach and preach at Pastor Mark Hankins' conference with all the Mac Hammond, Lynn Hammond. I was like, but the Lord says, you kept saying, I never lack for an opportunity. I never lack for an opportunity to preach the word, teach the word, get invited somewhere. And so Pastor Mark told me, he said, there was a point where he was preaching and teaching so much out of his own church that he was actually outgiving his own salary and his church at one point. because of the opportunity that he was getting to preach all over. And so I kept saying that I never lacked for an opportunity, and they asked me to share, and me and a few other people, and I just shared out of just wanting to share. And then I didn't realize this, but later that night, Darcy cut a check and handed it to me. And I was like, I looked at it, I was like, oh my God, praise the Lord, Jesus is Lord, hallelujah. And the Lord says, aren't you glad when I told you to sow? It says to be obedient, right? So if you're not having any seed in the ground, there's no harvest coming. And I don't know which harvest has been, what harvest that came from, because I'm always putting seed in the ground as a farmer. But I'm always obedient to it when he asks me to do something. Why? Because you can do something one day and the next day something happened to you. But I'm obedient when he says give, when he does say to do something. Because the Bible says in Deuteronomy 8, it says if you would diligently hearken to the word of the Lord and obey his commandments, then you'll make your way prosperous. You'll be blessed in Deuteronomy chapter 8. And so I'm always obedient to him. So let's, we're running out of time. And there's, so right there you see, it says the land was not able to hold them. Well, verse 14, God said to Abraham, Lot separated from him. Lift your eyes, look to the place which you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which you see, I will give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants could also be numbered. Arise and walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt there by the trees of however you say that word. So one thing you see is Abram is very obedient to God. When the Lord's speaking to him, he doesn't ask questions. Well, Lord, where am I going? Where am I going to work? How much am I going to make? What's my retirement going to be? Is the economics of that city good? No. Wherever the covenant is, you prosper. God could send you into the middle of the desert. And if he sent you there, the land is going to flow with milk and honey. He's going to bless you. He's going to give you so much possessions. You're going to have to move people out of that area in Jesus' name. It doesn't matter where you go. God sent Abraham. He prospered and he was blessed. But Abraham obeyed. So let's go. I want to go to 17. Actually, 15:18, it says, on the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying to your descendants, I've given you this land from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates. And so God makes a covenant. 17, the signs of the covenant. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. I will make my covenant between you and me. I will multiply you exceedingly. I will multiply you exceedingly. God wants to multiply you exceedingly. God's not interested in you decreasing in life. God's not interested in you going backwards and having a good year and maybe having a bad year and maybe having a couple more good years and having another bad year. He said, no, I want to multiply you exceedingly. Abraham fell on his face and talked with God, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father to many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, for your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. Ooh, exceedingly. You imagine that he's not even using these words like, I'm going to make you fruitful. It's like saying, I'm going to bless you. Amen. But what if I say, I'm going to exceedingly bless you? Amen. What does Ephesians 2 say? Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think according to the power that's working in us. I mean, God wants you to just hook with him in faith and say, I want to bless you. Why? He said to Abraham, I'm going to make you a blessing to nations. And it says that all the kings, let's see if I'll get to that. Yeah. No longer, I'll made you a father of many nations. You're like, think about a father of a nation caring for him, taking care of him, feeding them, nurturing them. I mean, he says, Abram, you're going to be a father to the nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings shall come to you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants from their generations for an everlasting covenant. What does that mean? That covenant is never going to run out. Your covenant with God that he made with Abraham, that went up through the lineage of David, that came through Jesus, that now you and I are in, is what? It is an everlasting covenant. So really, that the blessings of God should be automatic of you just being in the covenant. Do you know your rights in the covenant? Do you know these scriptures of reading through what God has done for you? Then you should wake up thinking, man, I got a covenant with God. I got a covenant with God to be a blessing to nations, kings, princes, and people coming to me, helping people to be. He said to Abraham that you would bless them. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you. Kings shall come to you, and I'll establish my covenant between you and me and descendants and their generations forever and everlasting covenant. To be God to you and your descendants after you. I will give to you and your descendants after the land in which a stranger, the land of Canaan, and everlasting possessions, I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. So covenant is two people involved, a covenantee and a covenantor. The two people enter into a contract, right? And so he told Abraham to keep the covenant. You do have a part in your covenant with God and what you're keeping with God and doing his word. You have the word of God. And so James 1 says that a person can say that I'm religious. Number one, they don't bridle their tongue. They're not really in love. You cannot, or they're religious, or they their religion becomes useless. Amen. James 1 says that they don't do the word. They forget. They walk away. They don't even know who they are anymore. So you have to become a doer of the word. Amen. In order for the word to work. That means when it says to give, you got to give. That's a part of your covenant, tithing, offerings, mixing faith with it, speaking the word of God. That's a part of your covenant, walking in love. Walking in love keeps the devil off of you. And Mark 11, 23, 24, 25, if you have any ought, leave your gift, make it right with the person, forgive them, and then God will receive your gift. That's a part of the covenant, you walking in love with people. Yeah, walking in love keeps Satan out of your life, off your finances. And if you're not going to do that, it's like Pastor made a good statement one time. He said, you can't tell a pig to stay just in the kitchen of your house. You let the devil in, he's going to tear the whole house to pieces. And it can be just out of walking in love or whatever God's dealing with you in your heart. That's a part of your covenant. That it's not burdensome. It says, my commandments are not burdensome, but they, because of the blood of Jesus, enables you to walk. I wake up in victory. I wake up holy. It says, if Jesus is holy, the branches are holy. I start from holiness in the morning. I'm not trying to get holy, trying to do better. No, I live from a position of holiness. Why? Because Jesus is holy. I'm walking with him, talking with him. Now, when I mess up, 1 John 1, 9, Lord, forgive me. Wash me in the blood. I'm sorry. Boom, back in fellowship with God, right standing with God. Not trying, man, tomorrow I'm going to do better. I'm trying my best. Well, if you live in a place where you already are, the king's son, the king's daughter, you don't have to struggle in your mind, right? Yes. I want to read this. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Be careful and obey all the commands I've given you today. You will live and you will multiply. This is New Living Translation. I think it's 818 New Living Translation for the young lady in the back. Be careful to obey all the commandments I'm giving you today. You will live and multiply. You will enter and occupy the land which the Lord swore to give to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness these 40 years, humbling you, testing you to prove your character. Sometimes God takes you through some character tests. Like I said earlier, people say, oh, I'll do this when I have money. No, you won't. You're not doing it now. That's right. God's testing your character. What are you going to do when you have no money?
That's right.
Do you give? Are you a blessing to people? Are you acting in faith? What are you going to do when you have a little bit of money? What are you going to do when you have a lot of money? Yeah. God, if you're not going to be faithful in the first test, the second test, he's not taking you to the third test. Now, there are people who are evil to have money. They don't always get it God's way, but there's principles that still work. But the doing it God's way, he says, I'll make a man rich and I'll add no sorrow with it. You can have a lot of money in the world, but you're going to be sorrow in how they get it, how they go about it. And so he says, I've tested you, prove your character to find out whether or not you'd obey his commandments. He humbled you by letting you go hungry and feeding you manna, food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Do you live by every word that comes out of God? Are you in love with his word? The Bible says that Solomon loved the Lord, and he sacrificed. It says that Solomon sacrificed so much to God that they couldn't count the cattle and the goats. When David passed away and gave the throne to Solomon, they said they couldn't number how many animals he sacrificed to God. He said that it did not say Solomon gave to the Lord. It said Solomon loved the Lord. And so David says in 1 Chronicles 29, I have set my affection on the house of my God to give an offering over and above willingly to that. Where is your affection? Is it on stuff? God doesn't mind you having stuff. But what do you think about all day long? Is it about kingdom advancement? That the kingdom would go forward, that God, that the gospel be preached, that people would get saved, healed, and delivered. And I believe God blessed, he blessed Abraham being in the covenant. But then God had a job for Abraham to do. God told him to do something. His focus was on the will of God. What was he to do with his life? Not just on, it didn't say that Abraham sat around and tried to collect more cattle. It just said he just had a lot of possessions. Amen. Abraham was, God said, jump. Abraham said, how high?
Amen.
God said, go over here. Abraham said, okay, we're going. God said, go get your son-in-law Lot. All right, let's go get him. So Abraham was always about the like Jesus says, I'm about my father's business, to do the will of my father. Where is your affection? Your affection will determine your prosperity. What do you love? It says that where your heart is, your treasure is. And so if your heart's into God, your heart's into the house of God, into the ministry of the gospel, you can still be a businessman, but your heart still be about the Lord. Man, I'm gonna start this business because I'm going to bless the Lord. I'm going to make money because not only am I going to feed my family, but I'm going to be a blessing to God. I'm going to give. People are going to get saved. Why do you do what you do every day? Why do you wake up and go to work? Is it just to Luke chapter 12 so they could build bigger barns and fill and say, I've worked my whole life. I'm going to fill my barns with more. Jesus says, fool, this night I'll require your soul of you. The purpose of life is not to build bigger barns. To sit, to drink, to be merry. Jesus is not, he's not against that. We do that. He's just saying, don't let that be your focus on life. What you think about, what drives your thoughts all day long. I've had to change because you can wake up thinking, man, I got to do this. I got to pay this bill. I got to make this money. I got to work here. But where, what is your, that's not, seek first the kingdom. What is the kingdom? Establishing, it says that thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So if it's in heaven, we can have it on earth, right? And so if you're going to be prosperous in heaven, why can't you be prosperous now?
That's right.
So God don't let you, want you to have a new car, but when you get to heaven, he's going to give you streets of gold and houses and all this stuff. But right now, he's telling you to be broke. That doesn't make any sense in the world. Amen. That you spend time with God and that you, how would you come out broke spending time with the creator of the universe who makes stars for fun and puts balls of gases out there, probably just because he's bored that we're not asking him for big enough. Amen. I'm just going to make a couple billion more stars today. I'm waiting for these people to believe me and ask me for something.
For real.
He teach you people not to live by bread alone. You're going to live by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. Right. And you got to fall in love with God's word. Fall in love with what he said.
Amen.
These 40 years, your clothes did not wear out. Man, imagine that, that you can believe God. Because sometimes it's like everything seems to wear out nowadays. But you, it's in the word. Amen. That your clothes, he took care of even their clothes, that they did not wear out. It says that they didn't, their feet didn't swell. They didn't blister or swell. Think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your own good. So obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, flowing streams of pools of water, fountains, springs that gush out in the valleys and hills. I mean, come on. God's wanting to give you something that not just a piece of land, but man, rivers running through it, lands, just, I mean, water. And that's expensive real estate right there. That's prime real estate. Imagine having a house on right on Wakaila and people are swimming. You just run out of your house, jump in the river, and come out. So God's telling them, I'm going to give you. The Lord your God's bringing you into a good land, flowing pools and water, fountains spring out, gushes in the valley and the hills, a land of wheat and barley, of grapevines, fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, honey. It is a land where the food is plentiful. Nothing is lacking. How many people like lack? How many people like looking at their pantry and seeing lack? God says, no, I want to give you plenty. I want to give, I want to fill it up. People hate lack. Everybody hates it. Why? Because it's not from God. You're made in God's image. He hates lack. God did not make lack. Lack is because when Adam sinned, the mother of all sin is poverty. When you're in sin and your life's in sin, you know it, and you're not in fellowship with God, poverty will eat your life. It will eat your lunch. Once Adam sinned, he was stripped naked. He was kicked out of the plenteous garden, stripped from his rights and authority. And so sin will make you poor. You keep the devil around, you keep playing with him, it's going to rob your bank account. I guarantee it. Don't play with sin. Don't play with the devil. Don't have one foot in the world. It says that those who name the name of Christ should depart from iniquity, depart from wrongdoing. Jesus has come out of the world, be separate from among them. Yeah. Adam was not blessed because he had sinned. He was cursed. Yeah. And so it says he was cursed with a curse, but then Christ redeemed man from that curse. So you don't play with sin and expect to be blessed. Obey the commandments of the Lord your God, walk in his ways, fearing him, reverencing him. The Lord your God is bringing you a good land. Okay, I read that. The land is, food is plenty. Nothing's lacking. The land where iron is as common as stone, copper, and abundance of hills. I mean, come on, think about that. Steel, iron, that's the car you're driving outside. I said to the first service, now it's a bunch of plastic, but it used to be iron. But God is saying what? Nothing's lacking, iron, stone, come on, all that metal they take and they slap it into a vehicle, and then now the devil tells you you can't have it because it's worth too much. Come on now, that was God's metal, his steel that he made, and it belongs to you. You should have it, the best of it. You don't need to drive something super old. I've done it, but then I started believing God for a Ford Raptor. 3 years. Every day in the name of Jesus, I have, if the heathen can drive it, I'm driving it in Jesus' name. It's not for them, it's for me. And 3 years later, I drove home in one. And I put the picture all over the church computers. And everybody was like, that's his Raptor. I said, that's my Raptor. And I drove home with it. So God wanted me to have it. It's his. He made the metal. Right. And it's not for the devil.
That's right.
The Lord is, let's see. The food is plentiful. Well, I like that. I like to eat. Copper's abundant. When you have eaten your fill, man, God wants you to eat until you're full. He wants to eat until you're fat and happy. Be sure to praise the Lord. When you have eaten your fill, come on, God don't want you lacking, struggling, wishing you had more. He wants you to be fat. Just kidding, eating your fill. Be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he's given you. Being ungrateful will take the blessings of God out of your hands. The Lord told Mark to tell me one time, he says, the reason that you're struggling is because, number one, he says, you're ungrateful. You're unthankful. Number two, he said, you don't pray in the Spirit ever. And he says, that's why you're in the mess you're in. So ungratefulness will actually cause it to not. Anything you're, when you're grouchy all the time, do you think God sits in heaven and goes, man, I want to bless them? When you wake up complaining, crying about everything. No. The son that comes to you and says, mom and dad, I love you, bless you. You want to do more for them. God's the same way. So when you've eaten your fill, it says that you'll praise the Lord for the good land he's given you. That time will be careful. Beware that you're plenty. Do you not forget the Lord your God? Disobey his commandments, regulations, and decrees that I've given you, for you become full and prosperous. God wants you to be prosperous. Yeah, built fine homes. Man, God's telling you right there, you can have a fine home to live in. Nothing wrong with it. But he's saying what? Don't forget them. Pastor Mark told me one time, he said, the people that started out in my church, the biggest givers, he said, they give, some of them give less today than they ever did. And he said, and I asked him, he said, did I not teach you how to give? Did the Lord not do this in the beginning? Why are you withholding from the Lord now? Why are you holding back now? He says it because people, Norval Hayes said that anybody that he taught to make money in the ministry would fall away and just spend their life making more money. And the Lord's telling them not to do that. When they became full and prosperous, they built fine homes. Your flocks and herds have become very large, and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everyone else. Be careful. You do not be proud. I mean, how many times you've seen people, they get a little bit of money and they start acting proud. Like now they're somebody. Now, just because you got a little bit of money, it came from God. You don't walk around manipulating, pushing people around. Now I'm somebody. You listen to me. I got money. Now I'm over you. I can tell you now what I think because I got a little bit of cash in my pocket. The Bible says don't become proud. Amen. Why? Because pride always cometh before a fall. It says that he said he's going to multiply your flocks and herds very large and silver and with everything else. Man, everything else. Be careful. She did not become proud of the time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from the slavery of the land of Egypt. This is a type and shadow of God rescuing you from the world. Once God pulls you out of the world, you get saved, born again, healed, delivered. Don't forget about him. Don't forget about where it all came from. That why he blesses you. Why? It's a part of the covenant. It's a part of what he said to Abraham he was going to do. It's a part of when God created man that he was going to bless them to be fruitful and to multiply. It's a part of his commission to subdue the earth, take dominion over the earth. Why? The righteous need to rule the earth. When the wicked have the earth, it goes nowhere. It's destructive. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just, is what the Bible says. And we're to use that wealth. Let me see. There's a scripture in here where it says that the kingdom would go out and be preached into all the earth. And so God has made prosperity, number one, just because that you're a part of him. That's who he is. God cannot not be prosperous. How do you have a God in heaven who's not oozing with just blessings and prosperity and goodness? That's just who he is. And so when he's in you, you should be prosperous. God wants to multiply. So if people tell you, no, focus, put your eyes on the covenant, what God has for you. See yourself as blessed, as wealthy, as prosperous, and that God loves you and cares about you. And then teach it to other people. I'm going to see, there's one last scripture. I think it says, in the gospel, the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a witness unto all the nations, and then the end shall come. It will cause the gospel. It says, cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Zechariah 1:17, that prosperity will cause his kingdom, his gospel, to spread abroad all over the earth. Pastor Lisa has something that she wants to share, and then she's going to take up the offering. Did I take up the offering? I did. She's going to do the altar call. God bless you as you give. No, I'm just kidding.
He already took up the offering. Praise the Lord. But I'll tell you this, as you're sitting here this morning, there are some people that as you've heard this message, the Spirit of God's dealing with you saying, I could do better. And so, we don't mind taking up a second offering. We're not going to do it formally. But if you want to just write up, put your check in the box in here, the truth is that the Lord said in Malachi 3, will a man rob God? Well, if there's anyone that I'm going to rob, it's not going to be God. I would hate to be a thief and rob God. Can you imagine pickpocketing God? But he asked that in Malachi 3, will a man rob God? And you're like, man, I don't want to be a robber. And, you know, he said no thieves are going to make it into heaven. So I just don't want to test that line. And so he said in Malachi 3, will a man rob me? He's calling us a robber, even in the very simplest thing. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. And what way have we robbed you, the people said? In tithes and offerings. I mean, if you haven't started at the tithe, forget about the offering. That's the Bible, the scripture, the blessing doesn't pertain to you. But now he's talking about robbing me. And so years ago when I was a young girl and I heard this verse, I'm like, heck no, I'm not going to be robbing God. I might not be up to the offering point, but I definitely can make it to the tithe point. If you don't know what the word tithe means, it just means 10%. 10% every, right off the top, not off the bottom, right off the top. Well, I don't have that money. I don't have it. We're not going to have anything if you don't give it. We could have testimonies. We have people all over this room that said, man, I didn't have it to give. I know people get uncomfortable when we talk about money, but it is the message in the Bible. And so it's my desire in this church for you to get just as comfortable when we start talking about the message of money that God put in his own Bible. I didn't write that. He said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. You can go on. You can follow me if you want. There may be food in my house. And try me, prove me, if I'll not open for you the windows of heaven, pour out for you such blessing, there won't even be room enough to receive it. The problem with most of you is you don't water the word. You get excited when we preach it, but when you go home on Monday and the devil says, girl, son, you just gave all your money to that fat preacher at church that goes down and get ice cream, it don't matter what that preacher does. If you gave it to the Lord out of a right heart, you're getting prospered. I'm not saying you should sow into a fat preacher that does ice cream, that doesn't feed you. But if that fat preacher that has ice cream is feeding you the word of God, sow. And let God take care of you. He said, Lord, I don't know what that fat preacher's doing, but I sowed into your storehouse. And so I just believe that that's going into good ground. So you're opening the windows of heaven. You say it every day. Psalm 107:20 says he sent his word and he healed you and delivered you from all your destruction. Not only did he send John 3:16 to you, he sent Malachi 3 to you. Not only did he say, send Romans 5:10 or 2 Corinthians 5:17. Everyone loves. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Woohoo, I'm a new creature. My past is gone. But the minute Pastor Justin stands up and starts talking about money, you're like, don't be talking about my money. You know why you do that? I did it before. I'm not blowing it on you. I've done it before. I'm like, oh, I don't want to hear that again. Why? Because money is your God. I thought Jesus was my Lord. Well, if you have a hard time releasing your money, money's your Lord. And so one of the most freeing thing is you've obeyed John 3:16. You got saved. You've obeyed other pieces of the verses of the Bible. But when you start obeying that part of your Bible, God's going to open up the windows of heaven, pour out on you a blessing you can't even receive it. 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. If you don't receive this in your soul first, it ain't coming out of your hand. And then you don't get to receive back. Every one of you in this place, if you were a farmer, if you go to work and you working for a living, you expect that boss to pay you on Friday. You ain't working for free. All right, let me just be honest with you. You're expecting a harvest. You sowed into that company, you're expecting a paycheck on Friday. If you're a farmer, you know nothing about anything about the country, you sow seed, you're expecting a harvest. You're not just expecting to sit on your front porch and nothing grow. You sow one seed, you're going to get 5 ears of corn. Not one piece of corn. You sow one seed, out of that one seed gets 5 or 6 or 10 ears of corn. He multiplies. He doesn't add. And he definitely doesn't just subtract. So if you believe John 3:16, why can't we believe 2 Corinthians 9? Write it down. Go home and read it. I didn't write the Bible. 2 Corinthians 9 says, God is not mocked. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man or a woman sows, that shall he reap. I used to think when I was younger, I know I sowed $10 and then someone gave me $10. That's not multiplication. You know, what good is for me to give $10 if somebody gives me $10? You need to put your faith on multiplication. I didn't know nothing about farming. I don't sow one seed and get one piece of corn. I said, it was my faith being mixed with what the word said. He said, if you sow generously, this is above the tithe. If you sow generously, you'll reap generously. If you sow sparingly, you'll have a sparing harvest. You're never going to see anything that will affect you if you only give a little bit. I'm not asking you to give to me. I'm asking you to give to God. If you don't believe in me, you think I'm being a crook, I'm fine with that. Go bless a ministry that you think is being honest, but at least bless them. At least obey the Bible. And so learn to open your heart when subjects are being preached other than John 3:16, Isaiah 53, 1 through 5, Romans, 1 Corinthians 5, 17, the woohoo scriptures, the praise the Lord, Jesus rose from the dead scriptures. I'm alive. Learn to say woohoo at the 2 Corinthians 9 scriptures, in the 2 Corinthians chapter 8, in the 1 Corinthians chapter 8, in the 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The Lord says a lot about money, and he wants to bless you. It's just as much as the message as anything else that you're going to hear. A lot of people want to praise like David praised, and a lot of people want to dance like David danced, but nobody seems to want to give like David gave. So you need to write down 2 Chronicles 29, and you need to read that whole chapter, and you'll see a side to David that you never saw before. When you start obeying that part of your Bible, you will see your finances soar off the chain. We as Word of Life Church gave almost 20% of our total income that came in. We're not going to preach something to you and then we don't do it. We're sending Mark Hankins across the world to Turkey, to Istanbul, to Iraq, to Vietnam. And he's preaching the word of faith and the spirit of faith. And he's dragging Trino with him. Not dragging, but it is not fun to fly to Israel 15 hours. I'm just saying, I've been there twice. I hate it. I can't sleep on an airplane. So when I get off in 15 hours, I feel horrible. Horrible. And it's only 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And you're just like, just help me find a bed. Just help me find a bed. It's not fun to travel like that. It's not fun. So I'm saying we do what we're asking you to do. We're sowing into the gospel. We're sowing a percentage of all your finances. We didn't used to do that. We started at $60,000 in our checkbook. We are way past that now. Just because we started giving money away. And it, you know, Pastor Mark says this. I know we're going a little bit over, but you'll watch a movie for 3 hours. The Titanic was 3 hours. Oh, that's such a good movie. It wasn't that great of a movie. Everybody died in a cold sea with one little preacher preaching. There were people that got saved in those icy cold waters. What am I saying? Your affection. Let your affection be on the house of God. Man, I can't wait to get out and go eat something. Man, bring a nut to church. Bring a power ball to church. I mean a power bar, not a power ball. That's what is that? That's like the... That's a lotto. Not Powerball, a power bar. Bring a power bar to church, man. Bring a protein shake that's got 40 grams in it. Lean body, you know. Salted caramel, whatever. And just drink it while pastor's preaching and go, I put my affection on the house of God.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Word of Life Church. We just wanted to let you know there's a lot more content on our website at wolapopka.com. From our YouTube channel, to our podcast, to our SoundCloud, and many more events. We also wanted to let you know that we love giving you these messages. And it helps us too that if you would love to give to the what we're doing, it helps keep all these messages free. You can just simply go to our website and click the big Give Now button. Or you can text 407-955-5345. And remember, our pastor's vision is this: we grow Christians. So we thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.